Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. We are still in the worship emphasis here at Be Love Co. And joining me today, I have Jamie and Darlene Chant.
Hey.
How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Great.
Awesome.
Good. It's been great being in this worship emphasis.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So fun.
It is.
Yeah.
This week, we are talking about worship as discipline. And I don't know about you guys, when I think about spiritual discipline, that's not necessarily where my mind naturally goes first.
Yeah.
Where do you guys, if I were to just say we're going to talk about spiritual disciplines, what are some of the things that you would like naturally go to or think about?
For me, I think it would be more reading your Bible, praying, mm-hmm. fasting, going yeah. to church. It would be mostly probably those things.
Yeah, me too. I think so. And I think that you can define worship in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You know what I mean? Like sometimes we think worship is just like singing or, you know what I mean? Like singing yeah. a worship song. So I think if you define worship differently, it can also in some ways go into those categories, like in the sense of like when you're praying, there's a sense of worship.
Right.
And, you know, like, so I think that you can adore the Lord in scripture. When you're reading scripture, there's an adoration that comes, which can also be worship.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at worship in different ways than just what we'd think as a worship service, you know, yeah. it can also fall in those disciplines, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think, or I wonder if, you know, in some ways the church has done a little bit of a disservice to just worship in general, because I think that for many people, worship is limited to song and music.
Yes.
And as we've been talking about in this emphasis, it's so much more than that. Yes. Every aspect of our lives
absolutely
can be directed to the Lord as worship.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
What are some ways you guys think about worship just in your daily lives outside of like song and music? Because I know you both love worship music anyways.
Yeah.
But what are some ways you kind of think about that?
For me, I think, you know, part of worship is what you behold, right? So yes. beholding the Lord is a sense of worship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that when I make a priority to invite the Lord into everything in my life, and he knows that he is the number one, he's Lord of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in that too, there is worship.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think it's been a disservice to the church to box in what worship is, but really giving yourself fully to the Lord mm-hmm. is a form of worship. When I invite him, when I acknowledge him, I think that's also a form of worship. You know, yeah. I adore him. So that is, you know, I think part of that too. I know it's not maybe the formal way that we think of it.
Yeah.
But I think it's also yeah, part
absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think looking back over my life, I think back, and I'm not super old, but I'm older. I think looking back, when I was a kid, 14, 15, 16, I mean, you know, I didn't drive around in my car and slip an 8-track in of, you know, hymns to rock and roll with in my car, you know? So I think the dynamic of worship has changed in such a beautiful way where we have so much now, online, devotions, you know, daily, whatever, mm-hmm. and so much music available to us.
Yeah, radio stations.
Yeah, with us growing up, worship, if you were to be a worship leader or a worship person, it took personal discipline to say, I'm going to focus this way today. I'm sure. going to make this a part of my daily life. Imagine you doing worship or reading your Bible, not having your phone with 5 different translations. Or not being able to put a soaking tape in, or not being able to put a worship tape in, and mm-hmm. just having to discipline yourself. Not that that was necessarily better, I don't think that, but I believe there was more somewhat of a dedication
mm-hmm.
to personal commitment to the Lord to some degree. I'm not reevaluating one. Mm-hmm. I love where the church is now, but the danger of where I was is like, if I didn't do that, there was a sense of religion that I was losing my connection with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The fear of that with the culture that's coming is the concept, if I just, there's so much, if I just do this, it's okay. So there's a mixture emotion that I have about. I think I was reading a quote by A.W. Tozer this morning. He said, the danger when we just do worship from a cultural perspective, we miss the personal aspect that we have with Jesus.
Sure.
We just join into a song, or we just join. And, you know, you're a speaker, I'm a speaker, Darlene has spoken, we've all been a part of worship. I think there is a preparation of our hearts. We don't come into worship. We come in as worshipers.
Mm.
That makes sense.
That's a huge difference.
That is a huge difference.
Huge difference.
That's a huge shift. Yeah. Because one, you know, one kind of makes it about the event of what you're doing in that moment.
Yeah, the experience.
The experience. But to view yourself as a worshiper who is coming in, that it makes it more of a lifestyle and more of an identity thing.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
To view yourself as a worshiper versus just being in a place to worship for a minute and then leave. And then you're not worshiping, you know?
And I think that, I think you would avoid more the entertainment part of worship. Like if it doesn't, they don't sing my song, or if the worship is not the way I like, or if it's too loud or not loud enough and all that. You avoid all of those pitfalls when you come in as a worshiper.
Yeah. That's really good.
Because that's just who I am.
That's really good.
Yeah. And Noah talked about it Sunday, the sacrifice. And I think the difference for me, I grew up in the church, very legalistic, so I went to the altar 5,000 times a week to get saved. Mm-hmm. But when I really came to a place of wanting to serve the Lord and live for Him when I was 23, my first dedication, words to the Lord, even looking back in my old Bible, was, Lord, I want to be a worshiper. And for that, for me to make that statement then meant everything.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I just want to be on stage, I want to lead in worship with song or an instrument. It meant everything. Father, I want to serve you. I want to have devotions with you. I want to have a prayer time. I want to have my whole, I want my whole life to be about you. It was a different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I served the Lord totally different when I was 23 on to become whatever God had for me in the future. Then from 23 down, it was all works. There was an interesting aspect of it that was
Almost like you knew you needed it.
Yeah, it planted some seed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when I was 23, when I made that commitment, okay, Lord, worship for me, I think, in a concept meant, okay, I'm giving you all.
Yeah.
It wasn't signified to, oh, I was at church this week in worship, and I've been worshiping them all week.
Yes. Yeah. And that's viewing yourself as a worshiper, like you were just saying, Dar. That's so important, because how often do we, or do people, especially now with what Western culture, the way Western culture has kind of intermingled with church culture, how often do we approach like a church service on the basis of our preferences?
Yeah.
And only engaging to the degree that our preferences are being met.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
100%.
And, go ahead.
Well, when we first launched Beloved, one of the things that I really encouraged the congregation was, don't come in here like with the attitude of, what can this do for me? So how's Beloved going to be? Like, how is it going to be for my family or for myself? I said, but if you come in here saying, okay, how can I partner with them and what can I do for this body? I said, you'll have a completely different experience than the other person. And really, it'll benefit you in the long run. So it's like, you know what? It's not about really about me.
Right.
You know, it's for me, but it's not, the church is not really about what my preferences are, you know?
Yeah. One of the things I love that you guys have done and Noah's done a good job of doing is kind of reframing how we as a church think about our gatherings in that, you know, so often it is just about me. Mm-hmm. I come to church and it's, what can I get? How can I be, I want to take and take and take and take. But you guys have done a good job of reframing it, that we are gathering to worship and minister to the heart of the Lord.
Right.
And I think when you view it like that, it's easier to get past some of the ways that maybe your preferences aren't being met.
That's right.
Because nobody's going to find a church where all their preferences are met.
That's right.
It doesn't matter where you go. Mm-hmm. As much as I love Beloved, if I left because you guys weren't meeting some of my preferences, the next church wouldn't, and so you just can't, you can't go by that.
That's right.
And, but I think when you reframe it, and I know that when I'm coming here, I'm ministering to the heart of the Lord, maybe Braden or Abby, whoever it's leading, would pick a song that's not necessarily my preference or not
that's
one
right.
that I would pick. I can get over that, because the question is, well, is it pleasing to the heart of the Lord that
that's
we're
right.
doing this? And if, if the answer is yes,
yeah,
then, and I think that's an aspect of maybe worship as discipline, in mm-hmm. that we can discipline ourselves to engage in worship, maybe even in times when we wouldn't, or maybe we're not naturally inclined to engage, or if there's maybe something that would kind of, you know, if I'm just looking at my preferences,
I totally
maybe I
agree.
Wouldn't naturally, but yeah. if I view it as discipline, I can say, well, okay, I can overcome this. In the same way that sometimes I wake up in the morning, I don't want to pray.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, right.
Just
right.
if I'm being
yeah.
honest.
Yeah.
But when I view prayer as a discipline, if I only go by my preferences, some mornings I don't prefer to pray. Right. I'd rather just sit and do something else.
That's
you know?
Right.
But I think it's important that we do take worship and we lump it in with these other disciplines that we talk about.
Yeah.
And I think those disciplines do a lot for you as a whole, mentally, spiritually, physically, whatever it is, whatever discipline you're practicing right now in your life, whether you're going to the gym every day, you're eating a certain way. We all have disciplines in our life, whether we like it or not. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things we miss is probably spiritual disciplines are probably the most important disciplines in our life.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
Because they create in us to be who we're called to be. We're connecting with the very image that we're supposed to represent. Mm-hmm. And I think we should do that not just in church on Sunday morning. I think we should do it every day when we go to somebody cuts you off, you get a bad cashier or a bad waiter. Yeah. I think worship goes way beyond what we think it is. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, once again, is that familiarity where sure. we can train a people that this is only what worship is, mm-hmm. and they miss the whole value of that being a part of them as a whole in our lives. And it's so important that we keep that focus. To me, discipline is a focus. It has a lot to do with your focus. Mm-hmm. And so keeping that focus, you know.
That's what I was going to say, too, is,
yeah.
you know, I think worship and gratitude go hand in hand.
For sure.
One of the things that is very popular in society right now is triggers. That triggers me, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I have a little Bible study on Thursdays, and I was talking to the girls about glimmers. And glimmers is the opposite of a trigger. And glimmers is the ability to look for things that give you joy and things wow. that you're intentional to watch for.
Yeah.
And when you train your brain to look for glimmers and not to react to triggers, you're retraining your neural pathways to look for something different that you normally do. Because in society now, we're taught to look for triggers. Oh, that triggered me. That mm-hmm. triggered me. You know what I mean? You yeah. have a beard. That really triggered me.
I hate that for you. It's not going anywhere.
I know. And but yeah, glimmers. And I think, you know, I would love to see society just be glimmered, you know, wow. all over the place. And I think gratitude is a big part of worship. And having a heart that's always...
Yeah.
You know, full of gratitude towards the Lord and what he's doing in the smallest little things, not just the big things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've never heard it put that way. Because sometimes Katie and I will kind of laugh about that because we don't even, mm-hmm. like, if for any reason in conversation where, like, the idea of, like, being triggered comes mm-hmm. up, even if we're laughing about it, it's mm-hmm. just hard, like, there's something about it that's mm-hmm. just like, this feels yeah. yucky to me.
Yeah.
I don't want this to be
sure.
defining
sure.
this moment or this, you know.
Yeah.
yeah.
And... Mm-hmm. I love that reframe of
yeah.
looking for glimmers,
yeah.
being the opposite.
Yeah,
and I think gratitude does that for us. 100%. I think gratitude keeps us in the glimmer moments.
It does.
It really does, you know, because you start seeing differently. You start. Noah talked about it Sunday. It was in his notes. I don't know if he mentioned it, but we've lost this awe concept of God. We're looking to so many other things that we're missing. This aspect of looking at the Father and how amazing he is and living in that constant state of gratitude. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, like, I want a bigger house. Oh man, but Lord, this house I have is so amazing. I'm so yeah. thankful. It's always like we're losing that sense of gratitude towards the Lord. We're thankful for certain things, but I think when we get back to being in awe of him, what Darlene's talking about, we're not focusing on triggers. Mm-hmm. We're actually focusing on the goodness of who he is for us.
And yeah. little things. It doesn't always have to be big things.
Yeah. yeah totally.
You know, it's yeah. it's just retraining your brain
renewing
to
the mind.
Look for something. You know, it's like Anne Marie, one of the ladies in our church, you know, she always looks for love notes. She finds hearts literally 1,000 a day.
Yep.
But it's because she's trained her brain to, and I know it's the Lord. I'm not saying it's not that.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's actually partnered with the Lord to see those things.
Yes.
And so we need to partner with the Lord, you know, and I think that's a part of worship.
And it is pretty cool, some of the places she sees hearts show up. Yeah. It's almost like the Lord sending a little secret message.
Yeah, in,
yeah, dirt, pavement, whatever.
Yeah. I think that is, I do think gratitude is probably one of the key aspects to not just developing a life of worship, because I think, you know, I think that because we were created to worship, if we're not worshiping God, we're worshiping something.
That's right.
Right. But that's I think that gratitude and just continually bringing to our minds who he is, who he's been, what he's done for us. I think that that is one of the best ways to help shift our worship from worship of, whether it's worship of self or worship of, you know, money or you know, our worship could be directed to anything.
Totally.
But I think that gratitude is one of the things that helps us to hone in our worship to the Lord.
That's right.
Of continually remembering
I totally believe that.
Yep. He's good and he does good things.
Yep. Yeah, and gratitude is one of the things that can change your neural pathways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the Bible says the things that it says, it's for a reason. It's not cliche. It's not like for a Hobby Lobby picture.
Right.
You know, and unfortunately, we've seen some of scripture like that. It's almost been dulled to us.
Yep.
The importance of it. But gratitude is something that neurologically helps us as people to live the right way.
Yeah.
And he's smarter than we are.
Yeah. And I love that about the word. I was telling Darlene a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting in the living room of the Lord, and I just had this thought for myself. I said, one of the things I love about the Bible, you can be reading, it's about one thing, but it's actually about everything.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing you're seeing affects the everything of who you are.
Sure.
And I love that about truth, and I love that about gratitude. I love that about worship.
Mm-hmm.
It's one, you look at it, and you can read a scripture on it and go, that's a cool concept about worship, but reality, the Holy Spirit's given you a concept that not just affects you in that moment, but it affects everything of who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And gratitude, I think, is one of the big things. Worship is one of the most underestimated constant practices that we have privately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We read, we do a lot of things, but and that's part of worship. But actually just sitting and giving thanks, like there's a big difference if I say to my wife, I like you and I love you.
Mm-hmm.
If I like you, it kind of weakens the relationship a little bit. She's okay with it, but it's weakened. But when I say, I really love you, sweetie, you listen to the tone and you listen to the language behind that expression. It's so different.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there. When I think about like all the different disciplines that we talk about, spiritual disciplines, the only two that really come to mind that are ones that we can be doing all the time are worship and prayer.
Yeah.
You know, we're called to pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
And, you know, because we could talk about reading scripture. I'm not always reading scripture.
Yeah.
You know, I can I can think about scripture throughout my day.
Yeah.
But,
totally.
You know, we talk about, like, practicing the practice of being in community. And that's not something we're called to do every second of every day.
That's right.
Right. But because, as I said before, because we're wired, we're designed, we're created to worship, I think that our attention and our affection is always being given to something.
Yeah.
It
it's
is.
Always being given towards something.
Always.
Yeah. And and I think that as we view worship as a discipline and we kind of put it in with these other things that we practice, we realize that this is actually something that we can grow in, our ability to allow our mind and our affection and our attention to be given to the Lord.
That's right.
So that we can, you know, become like Anne Marie, and we can to notice
absolutely
in all the little details,
all the little details
of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we train our brain to do certain things. Like I don't have to tell Darlene I love her, but I make it a point throughout the day to just let her know I love her. We have these little cliches, sayings that we go through. I always say to her when I can go out for 10 minutes, I come in, I say, did you miss me? We have these little things that it annoys her, but we have these little things that we do, right? So, but I do that with my kids. Like even now with Noah and Abby, like, hey, that was awesome. You guys are so incredible. Abby, the same thing. I don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Darlene knows I love her.
Yeah.
But there's something greater that happens with an expression of gratitude, an expression of worship, an expression that we really love. Like probably you may not think about, you know, your community every week, but I guarantee you throughout the day, you go back to, I wonder how Katie's doing today. I wonder what the mm-hmm. kids are doing, because that's valuable.
Yeah.
That's what you love.
Yeah.
That's what you love. And it's hard to say, I heard years ago, I heard a worship leader years ago, I can't remember, in Moncton, we were there when we were first doing youth ministry, from the stage as worship leader, he said, if you know him, you will worship him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I thought, wow, that's a big value statement.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true though.
I have a different language with Darlene than I have with any other woman in the church, thank mm-hmm. God. And so I think when I talk about personal worship, it's so much deeper than just getting in church and just lifting my hands.
Yeah.
I'm coming in already with a deep love and passion mm-hmm. for a corporate sense of let's all express who he is for us now. And for me, that's life-changing.
I think, too, you know, we are supposed to reflect Christ. You know, as Christians, we should feel and look and be different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think gratitude, like a intentional life of gratitude, also brings real joy.
Yeah.
And that sense of joy and peace in us reflects, I believe, you know, the Holy Spirit and Jesus mm-hmm. in us and as Christians. If you see everything in the negative, you know, like first thing you do, you drive, you get in your car, you know, traffic, gas prices, it's too cold, it's too hot.
Mm-hmm.
I got too much to do. I've got, you know, all of those things, because we all do that. We can all mentally, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you begin the day with gratitude, and every time, let's say, for instance, I know this sounds silly, but I'm glad I actually have money to put gas in my car.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, gosh, gas prices are high, or whatever the case may be, if mm-hmm. you change that, you will internally have that joy and that peace, I think, inside of you that reflects the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
And will look like more like Christ.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and I think gratitude and worship, I think, is, you know, they partner.
Yeah.
A person that's worshipful, 100%. I think, is a person that has a grateful heart.
Yeah. And I think Jamie nailed on the head that I think we naturally develop a tendency to worship the Lord the more we get to know him.
Absolutely.
Because I think worship is just kind of the only natural response.
That's
absolutely
right.
Because to know him is to know that he's good, and to know him is to know that he loves you, and that you know, he's a protector and he's a provider. And you know, and I love that reframe of mind, where, because I've had things like that happen too, where like you get a flat tire and that has potential to kind of ruin your day if you let it.
Yeah.
But if you think, oh, I'm so glad that I have money in the bank to pay for a new tire right now.
Yes.
It totally shifts
everything.
Absolutely. The whole thing.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it does start with the small things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think sometimes in the big things we can do that Christianese thing, like, oh, I know the Lord will supply, or I know the Lord will come through, you know, the big, but it's all those little foxes, you know, the little things.
Yes. Little
if you can learn to be thankful in all those small irritating things, you know, it changes the whole game, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And too, the more you practice being thankful for what the Lord has done for you and what he is doing for you, the more you can practice being thankful and aware of those things, I think the easier it gets to trust him in the future.
Yeah.
And this is something I love talking about, and I just love thinking about this, but I've heard people say that faith is spelled R-I-S-K, risk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is true at first.
Mm-hmm.
I think as you first kind of start getting to know the Lord and stepping out in faith and obedience, and it feels very risky, right?
Yeah.
Because he may ask you to do something weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the more you practice gratitude, the more you recognize who he is and what he's done, I think it stops being feeling like risk, and it just starts being like trust.
Yeah.
Because you know you've done it before. Yeah. You've always done it.
It becomes natural. Been good. It becomes a part of who you are.
Yeah.
You don't even think about it half the time. It's just a natural response.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I think that's all the time we've got for this episode.
Awesome.
I really appreciate you guys being
here. So good to be here. We
thanks
love
for
it.
Having us.
Yeah. So fun.
Yeah, yeah, this it's was been really awesome. Good. Really good. All right. Well, to all our listeners, I just want to say thank you, and we love you guys, and we'll see you next time.